And in previous, and back in 2020, the last little bit, we did a series, started a series on Jesus Christ, and we had done some topics on Jesus Christ, our righteousness, Jesus Christ, our peace, Jesus Christ, our purpose, and I wanted to continue on that today, but I'm going to change the name, reverse the name for the rest of this, the teachings in the series. This one is called Christ Jesus, Our Identity, and that is to take note of the fact that, first of all, Jesus Christ walked the earth as Jesus Christ, but after he had accomplished all that was required for man's redemption, and he was seated at the right hand of God, he's referred to as Christ Jesus, the anointing, the sanctified, the glorified Lord. So to cover both sides, we've done Jesus Christ, now we're going to do Christ Jesus. And we'll start with Christ Jesus, our identity, in chapter 6 of Romans, which I've told you to go to, and I haven't gone to myself. We'll go there now. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 is where we'll start. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We know about our identification with Jesus Christ. We know Jesus Christ was our substitute. He took the place of man when man deserved what Jesus Christ had to take upon himself. He took our place. He was our substitute. He was our Passover lamb. He was our scapegoat, and all the other various names that are used. And that's our identification with Christ. Here it says we're baptized into him. It says that as we were raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also should walk as we were raised with him. Let's keep reading. Verse 5, for we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, so we died with him. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Notice how the identification is right throughout this section. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon you also yourselves, see the identification, yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because Jesus Christ is alive unto God, so we can reckon ourselves also. In Ephesians chapter 2, just briefly going to look at identification, and then we're going to look at our identity. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. See identification? He's quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places, like Paul prayed today in his prayer this morning, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that we are now seated with him. You see all the points of identification. The Bible says we died, we were crucified with him. It says we were buried with him, baptized with him, raised to newness of life, and then seated with him. And then later on, returning with him, when he comes back after the gathering together. This, you might look at all these things as being the theoretical side of our identification. It's a spiritual reality. What does it mean to be seated in the heavenlies? Are you physically there right now? No. We're seated here in this slightly cold living room. No, we're seated here, but the Bible says we're seated in the heavenlies. And it says we raised with him. So that, I call that the theoretical side, I suppose, of our identification, but there's a very more practical side of what now that allows us to do, and that is our identity with Christ. We'll go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Where am I going here? You know, I don't think it's a mystery or a secret to anybody that today many of the people in the world are struggling for an identity. Everybody is looking for an identity. Now, there are lots of cliques and clubs and professions and so on, you know, and many of the terms and titles that are used in the world are designed to put people in boxes, right? You might be called, you're a leftist, or you're a right-wing person, or you're a left-wing nut, or you're a right-wing nut, or whatever. You're liberal or conservative or Democrat, or, you know, there are a lot of terms. They're Republican and alt-right, and there's a bunch of terms. You can go on forever, right? All these are terms trying to get some kind of identity out of life. What's my identity? Who am I? What do I, you know? And it seems like people need that identity. Well, the Bible is very clear to the Christian. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. See, we just read that. Our old man is crucified with him. Nevertheless, but we're still alive. Yet not I. No longer is it I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of God, faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ Jesus and what he now is mine and your identity. That's who you really are. Now, you may not recognize that, or you may not like that. You may not want to acknowledge that, but that's what the Bible says. Christ Jesus is your identity. That's my identity. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And that's great. You know, no longer as a believer do you need to search for an identity. God tells you exactly what your identity is. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. As being your identity being Christ, because you made him your Lord, then the onus is now on us to live not for ourselves, but for him. So when we're out and about, whom is it that we represent? Is it ourselves? Is it this party? Is it that party, that clique, that movement, or that way of thinking? Or is it Christ? What is it that we represent? In Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And again, we could certainly read a lot of the seven church epistles along these lines, but we'll just look at a few places. As believers, our identity is tied up entirely in Christ Jesus. When the Bible says newness of life, that's exactly what it means. It's a new life, a newness of life. In Galatians 3, verse 26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Our identity, Christ Jesus, our identity. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You know, there's all this talk about gender these days, right? Gender this and gender that. Well, you know, when it comes to being in Christ Jesus is not gender specific. Let's read it. It says it there, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. It makes no difference. See, even that identity, your identity in Christ, is greater than any other identity you could possibly have. It's no, Christ Jesus in a man is no different than Christ Jesus in a woman. There's no difference. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everybody's identity is Christ, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. By what Jesus did, we are all one. You know, men don't treat women with love and equality because of the women's movement, but because of Christ. because of Christ. And the Romans chapter, you can look at Romans 5:15, where it talks about, we don't have to turn there, but it says that we think of each one of us, we think of one another according to Christ Jesus. You know, a man doesn't treat a woman well because she's a woman. I mean, a man should, but number one, it's because she has Christ in her. That's why there says neither male nor female. There's no difference. Christ is within. That's your identity. Your Christ Jesus is your identity. That's who you are. And you can represent him. Doesn't matter if you're male or female, whether you're Greek, bond, Scythian, but doesn't matter. Christ is Christ. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. This is your identity. You are a son of God and an heir of God through Christ. See, because of him, because of Christ Jesus. He has given you this identity. You know, I mean, a lot of Christians might not even know they're an heir of God, that they're a son of God. They might think, well, I do bad things, and therefore in those days I'm not a son of God. It's nothing to do with what you do or don't do. It's got everything to do with what Jesus Christ did for us and his anointing and where he's seated now, and that's who you are. Doesn't matter how you act, but the Word of God is very clear. There are theoretical sections in God's Word, or what we call doctrinal sections, and there are corresponding practical sections where God says, this is who you are, and because of that, this is now how you should walk, because that is your identity. In Galatians 5, verse 22. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. See, it says we have the Spirit of God. So therefore, the fruit of the Spirit is love. So we're to walk in love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, in other words, if we're born again, if we've got Christ in us, let us also walk in the Spirit. See, one side is where what you have, the reality, seated at the right hand of God, seated with Christ, because you have that, God now says, look, that's your identity. Now this is how you walk. When you walk forth, your identity is Christ, and that's how you walk. In Galatians 6, verse 14, making it easy for you to turn. Galatians 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't glory in, you know, our abilities to do this or ability not to do that. He glories in the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world, this is a great verse, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. That's a really powerful statement. The world is crucified unto me. He says that the world is dead to me. There's nothing in the world that holds my interest or my allegiance or my passion or my love as much as the Lord Jesus Christ. It says the world is crucified unto me. And not only that, and I unto the world. And as far as the world's concerned, I'm dead. I'm done. This is not my home. This is not where I belong. The world will never get along with me, in other words, and I will never get along with the world. So any attempts that mankind makes to fix the systems of this world so that they're better and all this is eventually going to end up in, well, the Bible says eventually going to get burned up. So Paul says, my passion is Christ. That's my passion. That's who I am. There's nothing in the world that holds my interest, and the world doesn't care much about me. And if you look at it from that point of view, all the other identity politics just go out the window, don't they? You look at life from a much higher perspective. What is your purpose in this world? It is to represent Christ Jesus. That's who you are. That's your identity. When people meet you, they don't meet a liberal or a conservative or a Democrat or a Republican or a left-wing or right-wing. They meet a Christian, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's your identity. And to Paul said, to me, the world is dead, and I'm dead to the world. Verse 15, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And that's a reference to how in those days they would put a brand or on their slaves. The marks is referring to that brand of being a bond slave to Jesus Christ. So basically, he knows who he belongs to, he knows who he's been marked by, and that is his identity. Bond slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created, there it is again, in Christ Jesus. That's your identity. Unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's what God wants us to do. You know, we did a teaching last year in December, if you want to look it up, in 2019 on good works, if you want to know more, a bit more about that. But, you know, there's a lot of thinking about how, you know, in order to prove God, that, you know, to earn God's love, you got to do a bunch of good works. And if you don't do the good works, and then you don't get to be at a certain place or whatever. And God's word does not say that. Everything that you and I have is done because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. But because he did those things for us, and now we're seated at the right hand of God, we ought to do good works. We ought to walk in the things that God would have us to do. And that's a brief synopsis of that. Verse 18. For through him we both have access. Through who? Christ. We both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners. You're not looking for a home, not looking for an identity, not strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You belong, we belong to the household of God. We have a new family, a new home, a new identity because of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4. Again, you know, as you read the church epistle, you'll see that much of this is talking about who you are in Christ Jesus and how you ought to walk, how we ought to walk. Ephesians 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering. Sounds just like what we read in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit. With long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us, no one left out, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. See, we can walk this way because of what Jesus Christ did, and not that we're trying to earn anything, but we can walk that way because of what Jesus Christ did. So, you know, when we're out and about, how do you represent your identity to people? How do people represent their identity? Isn't it really by the way they walk, the way they talk, the things they do, and their actions? You can tell if a person is of a certain ilk by what he does or what he doesn't do, or by what he says or doesn't say. So when we're out and about, do we talk problems like everybody else in the world talks? Or do we talk solutions? Do we talk about, you know, worries and fears and all the things that we have? Or we talk about the God who has delivered us from those fears? What is it that we talk about all the time? How do we represent the identity that we have? We know we have it spiritually, but how do we now represent that to the rest of the world? Do we get entangled with the worldly movements and causes that are out there and give our passion to the causes of the world? Or do we give our passion to the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know, it's really up to us. But we do know what our identity is. But now God says, well, this is your identity. Now here's how you ought to walk. And it's up to every person to decide how much they want to walk that way. No one makes anybody do anything. It's up to each person how they're going to walk. Are we always ready to give people an answer for the hope that we have in our hearts for the return of Jesus Christ with meekness and fear, like it says in Peter? Are we all just worried about the various problems that are happening in the world today that are, engulfing this nation or that nation or this issue or that cause? What is it? What really is our identity? What is the identity that we show forth to people? In chapter 4, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Doesn't that sound like the world? Every new thing that comes along, it tosses people this way, and then it tosses them that way. Well, God says, look, I had my son die for you, so that now, because of what he's done, you don't get tossed around by every wind of doctrine. Your life is even keeled, it's steadfast, it's steady. You know where you're going, you know who you are, and there's no more tossing to and fro. That's the way it's supposed to be. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Make no mistake, that is what happens every day on a daily basis. Every podcast, everything you listen to, every book you read, every movie you watch, everything behind them has something that someone is trying to say to somebody. That's pretty general, isn't it? But that's the case. Cunning craftiness. I'll tell you, if it was obvious craftiness, no one would get duped by it. No one would get deceived. If it was obvious, it's not obvious. It says sleight of men and cunning craftiness, and it says deceive. That's the benefit. That's what they're trying to do. But we, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him. That's our goal in all things, which is ahead, even Christ. Our goal is to speak the truth and grow up into Christ. And you can read the rest of the chapter, which covers a lot more things. It talks about our walk. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God, followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. That was never not our identity before we accepted Jesus Christ. It was not. In verse 8, it talks about, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk, therefore, as children of light. Verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. No fellowship means what? Means no fellowship. It doesn't mean that I spend my time all day with those people who want to talk ill of Jesus Christ and what he's accomplished, nor do we spend time with people who want to walk cross purposes to the purposes of God, nor do we spend a lot of time with people who hate the gospel or think Christians are nothing more than bumbling idiots walking around the world or whatever people might be thinking. The Bible says, no, you don't have fellowship with them. I mean, doesn't say you never speak to them, because you got to be able to witness Christ. But if I'm going to spend all my time with somebody, I'm certainly not going to do it with somebody who is against what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. Right? And it says here, it's even a shame, verse 12, to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. We don't even talk about it. That's how much God doesn't want us to get involved in that stuff. Ephesians chapter 6. They're very, very strong verses. But your calling is a high calling. It's not an easy calling, it's a high calling. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. These are all ways where we walk because our identity is Christ. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. If you're working on a job, it says you obey the guy who you're working for with fear and trembling of the person. No, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers. Not that you want to please him and say, oh, I hope he loves me. But as the servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord, not to men. Why? Because someday, verse 8 says, knowing that whatsoever any good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Someday, what you do here, Everybody likes to talk about investments. You know, I'm going to invest in this and make this money, or invest in that. Well, you know, if you knew about an investment that you could invest in that is going to bring you returns, not only in this life, but in eternity, where do you think you'd want to spend your time? Where would you want to put more of your time than in the investments of this life? Wouldn't it be eternity? I always ask the question, what you're doing right now, what is this going to mean 1,000 years from now? It's a question I ask myself. When you're doing what you're doing right now, what impact will that thing you're doing right now have 1,000 years from now? And, you know, I find it's a good question to ask. In Philippians chapter 2, a few more verses. I mean, like I said, there's a lot on this topic, because basically the seven church epistles are written to show all that we've become in Christ Jesus, and it's a lifelong endeavor to understand that and to walk that way. But we start somewhere. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he is your identity. That's your identity. Christ is your identity. Verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That's God's viewpoint on where we live, where people live. A crooked and perverse nation hasn't changed, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Why? Because your identity is Christ, and you actually have answers. You actually know how to pull people out of that crooked and perverse nation, so they too can be seated at the right hand of God. You shine as lights. We are the light, the Bible says. Chapter 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. This is Paul. But for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. See, everything else he had learned before, he said he counted it loss. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And Paul was a very highly accomplished man. And he said all that stuff that he learned, he counted it loss. Why? Verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, but which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if I may apprehend, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. This is Paul. He said, I didn't fully understand yet, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He says, I haven't understood completely yet at this point in his life. But he goes, I know one thing I'm doing. I'm forgetting those things which are behind, but I'm pressing forward to those things which are before. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is our identity. He said everything he was doing from this point on was so that he could understand all that he was in Christ Jesus. And he even said, I don't fully apprehend yet, but one day I'm going to understand better. I know I'm going to understand better who I am and what I represent. And we'll close in Colossians chapter 3. You know, it's wonderful to know who you are. It's wonderful to understand your identity. So there's no confusion about it. You know, that's one thing about making Jesus our Lord and believing that God raised him from the dead, is that then you have an identity. You're seated, you're in a family, in the household of God. You're not searching for an identity like so many people are. You know, who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose? God's word is very clear. And it's like you come home when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3, verse 1. If you then be risen, or the word is since you be risen with Christ, which we are, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. There it is again. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. There it is again. See, Paul said, the world is dead to me, and I'm dead to the world. So here it says, you set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? Because the earth is dead to us, and we're dead to it. Verse 3, for you are dead, there it is again, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That is where your real life is. And verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, and he's coming back, then shall you also appear with him in glory. You see that? The completion of our identification with Christ is when he comes back to gather us together, and then we're together, we're with him forever. And we're gonna, it says in the Bible, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And when that great day happens, everybody in the world is finally gonna recognize all that Christ Jesus is to the world. And it's essentially the completion of our identification. You know, and that particular event, we just have to be around. We don't have to do anything. It's just going to happen, right? So it's wonderful to know our identity. It's wonderful not to be lost. And it's a lifelong endeavor. Like Paul said, he hadn't fully apprehended, fully understood everything, and he was the one writing this stuff by revelation. You know, but he said that I press forward, and that's really the goal for each believer, to press forward to understand more and more and better our identity, being Christ Jesus. Yeah. Okay, God bless.